This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
We're here today with Rob Hecht, Principal and Managing Director for Results for Development. The Results for Development Institute is a Washington-based nonprofit organization dedicated to accelerating social and economic progress in low- and middle-income countries. Rob and his colleagues at Results were selected by the CSIS Commission on Smart Global Health Policy to provide expert analysis on innovative financing options for global health. The product of that work, Innovative Financing for Global Health, A Moment for Expanded U.S. Engagement, can be found online at www.smartglobalhealth.org. Rob, thanks so much for joining us today. I'm hoping we can start by just taking a step back, because we're hearing a lot of discussion about innovative financing right now. And if you could just describe what the basic problem with global health funding is, and how does innovative financing fit into this as part of the solution?
Thanks, Suzanne. The big problem in global health today on the financing side is that there just isn't enough money going into the kinds of key programs that are needed to achieve the health goals that the world community set for itself and is trying to achieve by 2015. These are very important goals, like reducing the number of child deaths and stopping infectious diseases like AIDS and tuberculosis and malaria. The estimates that we and others have done suggest that tens of billions of dollars are needed in order to achieve these goals in the poorest countries around the world. The traditional way in which the governments in Africa and Asia and their partners like the United States come up with the money for these programs is through standard taxation. And while there has been a big increase in effort, both by the low-income countries and by their international partners, we're still falling short. We're talking about tens of billions, as I say. The money that is going into these programs, while frequently it is well used, it could be used better. Sometimes the focus is on paying for the time of health workers and for medicines, all important things, but not necessarily focusing on the results, whether a child's lives are being saved, whether these infections are being cut down. So innovative finance is about both ways to come up with additional monies to fill the gaps that I was referring to, and also how to use that money better and smarter in order to see that it's efficiently deployed and it really helps the countries to achieve the health goals that they've set for themselves.
Rob, it would be helpful if you could describe a few specific examples of innovative financing programs and how they're different from traditional forms of foreign aid.
Suzanne, the innovative financing is either involves, as I say, new ways to raise the money, ways to spend it better. An example is the advanced market commitment. This is a commitment by a number of the wealthy countries. The U.S. Has not participated in this until now, but a number of European countries are very much behind it, in which a promise is made to companies that can come up with a new or a better health product, in this case a vaccine, to stop childhood pneumonia. And the idea is to commit or to promise that if the companies can design and can manufacture this kind of a vaccine that would save hundreds of thousands of children's lives in countries in Africa and in South Asia and around the world, then the countries that are committing to this advanced market mechanism will promise to pay a reasonable price, not the kind of price that you might pay for the vaccine here in the United States, but enough of a price, say $5 to $7 per dose of that vaccine, so that it's worthwhile for the companies to invest in the research and development and to manufacture that vaccine for the children. So that's a way to commit and then to spend money. Very innovative, not the traditional way of having the rich countries support these health goals that can drive innovation in the science area, new vaccines, and can get them out to the countries that that really need them. So that's just one example. These are the kinds of things that have been on the table, that have been pursued over the last decade, last 8 to 10 years, by the international health community with some amount of intellectual leadership from here in the United States, because an idea like the Advanced Market Commitment was developed by academics and think tanks here in the United States. But these are ideas that have been picked up and are run with by the Europeans rather than by our own government. So this is one of the points that we make in the work that we've been doing in this area. There's a lot of creativity, and many of the best ideas in innovative financing are coming from North America and from U.S. Institutions. But the U.S. government, until now, hasn't been as enthusiastic and hasn't gotten as directly involved in seeing that these very promising ideas actually get fully fleshed out and then put into practice. So this is one of the opportunities we can be talking about in this conversation, where the U.S. not only is seen as an originator or a generator of ideas in innovative financing, but also follows through to see that they actually take place in practice.
So, Rob, if the U.S. government has not been fully engaged or involved to date on these practices, how can the U.S. become more engaged? What would you recommend to the U.S. and Congress? Where do they begin?
Well, there are three or four things that the U.S. could be doing to step up and get more involved in innovative financing. The first one would be to develop some leadership here within the administration to give responsibility to one of the government agencies to be a kind of a leader or coordinator on innovative financing. There are so many meetings and discussions that go on in this area involving the European countries and many of the developing countries, but somebody from the U.S. side needs to be taking the lead on this, needs to be in the driver's seat. And although there's a lot of talent within the U.S. government and a lot of potential for involvement, a lot of knowledge and a lot of bright people who could be working, over the last few years, there's been a kind of confusion, I think, and a certain amount of fragmentation across U.S. government agencies. You have the scientists from the National Institutes for Health under the Health and Human Services, the State Department with USAID and U.S. Foreign Assistance, the Treasury Department, which knows quite a bit about finance and international financing, the National Security Council. So in a sense, we have an embarrassment of riches in this area. There are many U.S. government departments that can contribute, that probably know a part of the answer to this puzzle. But there's been a kind of fragmentation, and it's been unclear who leads and who follows. And I think this has slowed down U.S. involvement. So getting the act together, creating some kind of an interagency task force to work on this, to pool these many different talents, and then to have somebody who keeps it moving forward and represents the U.S. In these kinds of debates and discussions. That would be a first thing. A second one involves looking carefully at how some of the legal and administrative barriers or practices that could be obstacles or barriers to getting the U.S. more involved in innovative finance, how these could be addressed and overcome. An example relates to another innovative financing mechanism, the International Financing Facility. This is a mechanism that was set up several years ago with strong backing from the United Kingdom and Italy and a number of other countries in Europe. And it involves governments giving guarantees, financial guarantees that then allow an international health agency to go out and borrow money in the capital markets by issuing bonds. They can do that because there's a guarantee that the governments will be there to come in and repay those bonds should anything go wrong. This requires countries like the United States, should it want to participate, to get the Congress to agree to guarantee financial flows over a long period of time. And that's not normally the way the Congress works. It typically works from year to year, appropriating money for the coming 12 months, but not promising to be there over, say, a 10-year period. Now, that's a big obstacle, but we think not an insurmountable one. If the U.S. administration really wanted to participate in this international financing facility, so-called IFF, there are some ways that this could be made possible. That's going to require some careful consultation with members of Congress, with the budgeting and appropriations committees, and it's going to require some thoughtful work by some lawyers and some experts in U.S. budgeting. So that's a second area where doing some careful technical analysis, solutions can be found to these tricky problems. Not insuperable ones, but ones that require some careful attention. So if the political will comes together with technical analysis, then solutions to these kinds of problems can be found. A third area that the U.S. administration could take on would be to develop a more coherent program in an area that's frequently referred to as results-based financing. The idea here being that money in international health and global health, rather than just going, as I said earlier, to pay for inputs for things that go into, the ingredients that go into health programs, as important as they are, like paying for health workers and for medicines, would be to say we'll pay a portion or all of our contribution to a given health program when we see something actually happening on the ground. When we see that a pregnant woman comes in and gets care, then we'll pay for everything that's gone into that. Or when a child's immunized, we'll provide some kind of a bonus or an incentive, because that's what we're concerned about, is the result, not just the fact that more health workers show up and do their job, but see that the health of the population really is improving. This is an area where the USAID has been supporting programs in countries in Latin America and in Asia over a number of years, but there's never been a well-developed program or a policy. It's been very ad hoc, and we think this is an important area and one that's so promising that it makes sense for the administration to take stock of all of its results-based activities which are going on right now, pull them together, develop a single policy, and look forward and say, what's been working in this area? Where have we had problems? How can we take the best of what we've done and create a program which might be larger, but much more tightly organized and managed than what has been there in the past. So these are just several examples of what could be done in this area to get the U.S. more involved in innovative financing.
Those are very interesting recommendations. And as you know, the Obama administration is in the process of developing its six-year global health initiative, known as GHI. So how can or should innovative financing fit into this specific new initiative?
Well, with the announcement of the Global Health Initiative and the appointment of some individuals now to coordinate, I think this is the time to take these ideas in innovative financing, which have been percolating for the last few years, some of them like the ones I mentioned, the advanced market commitment for a new and a better vaccine or the international finance facility. These are already happening. These are not just ideas on the drawing board. So the question now for the Obama administration and the GHI is, does the U.S. want to join with others in this area? They're already realities on the ground. The international finance facility has been up and running for the last 3 or 4 years. I believe it's raised somewhere between $3 and $5 billion to pay for vaccines for children in developing countries. The advanced market commitment has been launched, and a couple of the vaccine companies, the multinational companies, including one which is here in the United States, that's Pfizer, which took over a vaccine company in Pennsylvania, Wyeth Vaccines. They've already started responding to this market commitment and designed new and better vaccines to stop childhood pneumonia and meningitis in young children in countries all over the world. So the Obama administration has an opportunity. It's not too late to contribute financially, to contribute its ideas, to follow the progress which is being achieved with things like the Advanced Market Commitment and the International Finance Facility, and eventually to contribute, because these are innovative approaches that are going to be around for many years to come. They're not just a 1 or 2 year flash in the pan. These are going to be sustained programs. At least those are the indications we're getting. In addition to those kinds of innovative ideas, there are many others which are either in an earlier stage, a more embryonic stage, or which are just ideas that are being tossed around, which haven't been put into practice yet. And the Obama administration, I'm sure, will be very welcome to join and even to take a global leadership role in moving some of these forward. An example, just to cite one more, would be around the use of debt forgiveness or debt swaps. This is an approach which has been around for a few years. Right now in global health, it's quite small, but it has some potential to grow, in which countries in Asia and Latin America that have debts that they have been hanging over them, debts to the European countries or to the United States, which they have difficulty repaying, could be partially forgiven or written off, provided that those countries make a contribution in the global health area, a financial contribution. This is something where the U.S. has some experience, but it's not using its experience right now in the global health area. It could come on and do something in this debt for health arena. So all of these are possibilities. It's almost unlimited what the Obama administration could be doing. There's already a menu of innovative approaches which are making a difference and can make a difference. And this is a domain, an area where there's so much creative thinking and resourcefulness, and I'm confident that with all the brains that we have in this country and all of the interest by the general public in doing more in this area of global health, the Obama administration could certainly capitalize on this to play an important role in innovative financing for global health.
Rob, thanks so much for joining us. This has been a great conversation. We encourage listeners to learn more about innovative financing by reading the full paper online at smartglobalhealth.org. And listeners can also learn more about the good work Results for Development is doing at www.resultsfordevelopment.org.